Mary and Elizabeth called by God. Our memory verse quotes Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." This response has always filled me with admiration and wonder. In a town like Nazareth, was ready to lynch their preacher, in a town in which the question could be asked, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Mary and Joseph came out. When the angel Gabriel came to her with the proposition, how much time did she spend thinking about the implications of her decision, of her condition in gossip-ripe Nazareth? "I am the Lord's servant. Be it me to me according to your word." This is a miracle of grace, an operation of amazing faith. Part number one. Beside Mary, Elizabeth was another woman who had a vital part to play in connection with the coming of Jesus. Mary was chosen by God to be the mother of his son. Elizabeth was chosen by God to be the mother of the announcer of his son, the messenger predicted by Isaiah and by Malachi. There was a couple, a priestly couple. Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were well stricken in years. We don't know how old they were, but the expression indicates that they were elderly. God had already chosen an elderly couple to be the mother and father of the promised seed 2,000 years before. Abraham and Sarah were old. Elizabeth and Zechariah were old too. But they were righteous, faithful, pious, worshippers of the true God. And Zechariah was of the tribe of Abia, ministering as a priest. As we read of Elizabeth later, she had faith in what Gabriel told her. She would believe, just as Sarah had had faith that her relationship with Abraham would produce a child, so Elizabeth had faith to believe that her relationship with her husband would give her a child. And so in response to the challenge of the angel, the child was conceived. 5 months later, she was visited by Mary. And when she encountered Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And she was ready to bless Mary. The time came when the boy was to be born. The neighbors said the boy should be called Zacharias after his father. Elizabeth believed what Gabriel had told and said, "No, his name is going to be John." So as we think about these revealed details, we discover that Elizabeth was a woman of faith. She believed. Now she hid herself for 5 months. A lady of her age wouldn't expect to be with child. Perhaps it was to give thought and study to the responsibility of rearing this child, to whom had been entrusted even before his conception with the responsibility of announcing the Messiah. He had a very important task, and so she prepared herself mentally and physically as the child was developing in her. In their quiet and holy lives, the light of faith shone out like a star amid the darkness of those evil days, Ellen White declares. This child was to be a Nazarite, never to take wine or any fermented drink or even eat grapes. He was to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was to devote himself especially to a religious life. It was through faith that the child of promise was given. It is through faith that the spiritual life is begotten, and we are enabled to do the works of God. So as we think of Elizabeth, we see a woman of faith, of contemplation, of piety, of trust, and of obedience. Part number two, Mary's call to service was also made, as we have noted, by Gabriel. He comes to her, he gives to her the estimate that heaven had of her, blessed among women, pious, religious, obedient, loving, and then he invites her to become the mother of God's Son. Mary asked the question, how? How shall this be? When I read that, I always think of another how asked on another occasion, this time by the teacher in Israel, Nicodemus, of the carpenter of Nazareth, Jesus. Nicodemus said, when Jesus said you must be born again, how can a man be born when he's old? Now his how was questioning, doubting, argumentative, almost defiant. Mary's how was submissive. What she wanted to know, in effect, was what can I do? How can I help? How can this happen? I'm not married to anyone else. Tell me. I want to do it, but how? And so Gabriel then gives to her the only explanation that's ever been given. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that holy thing that shall be born will be called the Son of the Highest. The how really produces more hows. How can the Holy Spirit come? How can the mechanics of conception take place? And these hows would be like Nicodemus' hows. Curious, questioning, half doubtful. Mary's was submissive, cooperative, tell me how. The attitude, by contrast, shows Mary to be a submissive, trusting woman of great grace and faith. She said, in effect, great, what can I do? Gabriel explained, you'll have to do nothing but submit to the power of the Holy Spirit. He will do everything that is necessary. And to this, as our memory verse indicates, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. The matter was settled with Mary. As soon as it became clear to her what God's will was. I love that. Lord tells me, okay, let's go. Let's do it. As soon as sufficient information had been imparted to her to enable her to carry out her path intelligently, she went ahead. Mary gives expression of meek and submissive spirit. Some will try to shame her. Some will try to ridicule her. She was ready to go, to carry out the divine will. She trusted in God. She accepted God's message completely. She believed His messenger, and God did the rest. Part number 3. Mary and Elizabeth meet. When the angel tried to encourage Mary, who was much younger, evidently, he told her that her elderly cousin, Elizabeth, was also with child. And so, knowing Zacharias and Elizabeth, Mary received the information with joy and praise to God. And so she decided to take a trip to talk with Elizabeth and be with Zacharias, who couldn't talk, to discuss whatever women in these circumstances and in these special circumstances, both angel instructed, angel guided, young and old women. Upon hearing this news, Mary set out to visit Elizabeth. Both these ladies were now miraculously conceived with a child. Both of them were in a special relationship to God. And when Elizabeth met Mary, she addressed her as the mother of my Lord. When you think of the insight that that statement indicates she had, she was a remarkable woman. Faith, trust, belief in the predictions of God, virgin would conceive, that a messenger would be sent before his way, the picture of the entire plan of salvation captured in the minds of these two women long before it was understood by the rulers and the disciples and the people at large. Faith is trusting God, believing that He loves us, knows what is best for us. Instead of our own, it leads us to choose God's way. In place of our ignorance, it accepts His wisdom. In place of our weakness, His strength. In place of our sinfulness, His righteousness. Our lives, ourselves, are already His. Faith acknowledges His ownership and accepts its blessing. And these inspired words describe Elizabeth and Mary as they hug, perhaps cry, and talk together all that God had done for them. Part number 4. Mary's song of praise to God. These several verses indicate the jubilation that was in Mary's mind. God was good, God was powerful. As you read these words, you're impressed with the fact that she was saturated with the Bible. If you look in the margin, you will see references to psalm after psalm, echoing the words of the psalmist. She must have read those psalms. They must have been a joy to her. Now she could sing in the language of the sweet singer of Israel. God, mighty God, has turned to me to do great things. He has been doing them from generation to generation. He'll do them to me. He scattered the proud, he's put down the mighty, but he has fulfilled the promises he has made from the days of Abraham and his seed. And he is now blessing me. As we think of these words, we are amazed at her insight, a knowledge that God has broken through into humanity, that he is helping a poor, humble girl like Mary of Nazareth to be the mother of God, mother of his son. She was prophesying about her unborn son, of all the things he would do to upset the mighty, to establish the humble, and to erect a different kind of kingdom. Part number 5. Mary is the mother of Jesus. She accepts her humble, selfless, submissive, trusting lot. She cooperates with Elizabeth. She is ready to honor, sustain Elizabeth. She fitted in with the necessary circumstances, came to Bethlehem. She was recognized by the shepherds. She kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. What kind of a woman was she? Simple, dependent on God, trusting to his leading, the Lord's servant, obeyed everything revealed to her, quick from her heart, chose the fellowship of another kindly soul with whom she could talk like Elizabeth. And when the shepherds came with their report of the angel's message, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. When she talked to Mary, when she talked to Anna, again, quiet, acceptance, submission. Part number 6. Women have need of great patience before they are qualified to become mothers. God has ordained that they shall be fitted for this work. Work of the mother becomes infinite through her connection with Christ. It is beyond understanding. Woman's office is sacred. The presence of Jesus is needed in the home. What a world would it have been if all mothers would consecrate themselves on the altar of God and would consecrate their offspring to God both before and after birth. And this attitude we see in both Mary and in Elizabeth.